Getting back to the subject that Brother Norman has brought announced for us, seeking the way of the Lord, we would like to begin our lesson by reading in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 26th verse. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And we think of our Lord. No doubt he read these words. He was the Son of God. And he did observe the ways of the Father. He sought out endeavoring to fulfill every measure of the law that was required of him, that he may obtain the privilege of being back at the right hand of the Father like he was before the world was. And we are striving to follow in his footsteps, that we too may share this privilege. We read in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Many who read Paul's writings do not appreciate what he has written. I think only the Bible students really grasp the import of Paul's writings, who really have an appreciation of what he has given to us, because it is through Paul's writings that we can appreciate the fact what high priesthood Paul was referring to constantly in his writings, to what Brother Hugelman has brought to our attention, the tabernacle arrangement. It is from here that we can really appreciate the high priest and the functions of a high priest. We remember that Aaron was the chief over his under priesthood, and he was ordained to minister as high priest for all the people. So our Lord Jesus personally is the chief priest to the under priest. You and I, members of the gospel church, his body, and in a complete sense, he is the head, as we are members of the body of the world's high priest, if faithful, in the millennial age, in the mediatorial age. We become members of the body. To become members of this body, we must fill up that which is of the measure of the sufferings of Christ, which are behind. And this requires the entire gospel age, as Paul brings to our attention in Colossians, the 1st chapter and the 24th verse. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of these afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Are we rebelling at the experiences that come our way? Do we feel, Lord, not this trial too? It's too much. Oh, we shouldn't feel that way. We should feel, as Brother Sunbaum has brought to our attentions, be thankful for every experience. It's worth millions and more. It's going to bring the privilege of being at the right hand of the Father. Again, in Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so walk, so as to have us for an ensample. Have you ever considered that Paul was asking us to mark our brethren? He has. As Paul was aware that brethren were trying to follow him, Peter, James, John, and he recognized that they were trying to follow him, he's admonishing us at this end of the age, mark the brethren who are diligently walking in this narrow way. Brethren, let us take courage. Let us ever be mindful of encouraging one another in this narrow way, to uplift, to encourage. Does the chiseling, the polishing, maybe the rasping of a file, little too much for us? Consider it from the Father's point of view, the gem that He's making of you. Again, Romans, the 8th chapter and the 17th verse. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also together be glorified together. Do we realize what that sentence, that verse is telling us? If heirs of God, it's hard to comprehend. But it's the same as if Rockefeller adopted a son along with his other children and says, you're going to go to the best schools I can afford. And when I die, you're going to inherit everything equal. These are all tangible items. Do you realize that our Heavenly Father has invited us to suffer, to enter the school of Christ, to learn by experience the sufferings that our Lord Jesus went through? And if we faithfully endure all these experiences, they're not going to be joyful. But if we look back with them with joy, ours will be the divine nature, an inheritance far above principality and power that money cannot buy. Our Lord, in His 3.5 years of ministry, fulfilled or set an example for us to follow. And we have that privilege of walking where Jesus walked. You know, Moses recognized that he was a deliverer of God's people. And in his humility, he was quick to acknowledge that he wasn't the prophet that was to deliver Israel, as written in Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise, beginning with the 17th verse, the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Peter was quick to pick this up in Acts, the 3rd chapter. And the 22nd verse. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That prophet was Jesus. Yet, in the more complete sense, it's going to be you and I, if faithful unto death, along with the early church, who are the body members that will have the privilege of teaching, uplifting the world of mankind during the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. Our Lord fulfilled this picture, this prophecy, and we will share the honor as prophet, priest, and king. At the close of the Jewish age, as prophet, he taught the Jews in their synagogues, in the countrysides. As priest, he offered up himself. And as king, he rode into their city at the close of his ministry. But they did not accept him. Only the body members has acknowledged him as a prophet, a teacher sent of God, as high priest of our profession, and as the rightful king. But when the body will be complete, the Christ will be prophet for all the people, priest for all the people, and king over all peoples, nations, kindreds and tongues, Lord of all, priest of all, teachers for all to learn the ways of truth and righteousness. Yes, when the mediatorial phase of the kingdom will be established, then, as in the early type, when in the tabernacle arrangement, after the Day of Atonement, people wanted to come and offer their bullocks in the court, they offered it at the door before the holy. And as we read in Leviticus, the 1st chapter, the 2nd verse, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt offering, burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the, before the Lord. He shall put his hands, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted by for him to make an atonement for him. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of congregation. What's this for? The privilege of uplifting the world of mankind. When mankind is back to the in full harmony with God, they too will bring their bullocks, their perfect sacrifices before the Lord and offer them there. And the priest shall accept them. That's you and I. We are pictured with the under priesthood. We will have that privilege of uplifting and accepting from the world of mankind. And then finally the kingdom is turned over to the Father. We would like to consider a little more concerning the lessons of the tabernacle. Brother Hugelman has touched on some of the features of the tabernacle, but there's so much there that I hope we don't infringe. But if we touch on some of the points that he has mentioned, it will help impress our hearts and minds to a greater appreciation of what the Lord has in store for us. In Leviticus, the 16th chapter, in the type, we can type to be considered, we find Aaron became alone represented the entire anointed one, head and body. The two different sacrifices, the bullock and the goat, are here used to represent the separateness and yet the similarities in the sufferings of the body and its head as a sin offering. Our privilege of following in the footsteps of Jesus. The bullock represented Jesus at the age of 30. The perfect man who gave himself on our behalf. The high priest represented the new creature, the new nature of Jesus, the anointed head and body complete. And he who was rich of the highest nature then, next under the Heavenly Father, became poor, became a man. Why? To take Adam's place. In Leviticus, the 16th chapter, and the 4th verse, we read concerning the priest. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. Yes, the high priest washed himself, showing the cleanliness, the right purity, putting on the linen garments, righteousness of the saints, and earnest of the glorious robe to follow after the sacrificing is completed. The linen girdle, representing servitude, so that he could be busy in taking care of the sacrifice without falling over the breeches and the robe that follows. Are we girded? Are we busy in serving our brethren, assisting in making our calling and they're helping us make our calling and election sure and assisting them in theirs. The linen mitre to which the crown was fastened after the sacrificing work was finished. Typical of righteousness. Have you considered, you know, many of the tabernacle, in fact, all of the tabernacle arrangement, in our studies, we ask ourselves, why? How, Lord? For a better appreciation of what the tabernacle means to us. To better appreciate why Paul states what he does in Romans and in Hebrews. Phrases that we speak of to those in the world, we're talking in a foreign language to them because they don't understand. They don't follow what Paul's writing. We would like to read one paragraph in my sixth volume. It's page 270 or 271 in others. And it's under a subheading, "Let Her Head Be Covered." We have already pointed out that the high priest who typified Christ, the high priest of our profession alone, went with uncovered head when in priestly attire, and that all the under priests who typified the church, the royal priesthood, wore head coverings called bonnets. The teaching of this type is in full accord with what we have just seen. For in the gathering of the ecclesia of the new creation, the Lord, the antitypical high priest, is represented by the brethren, while the church or royal priesthood, as represented by the sisters, who the apostle declares should likewise wear head coverings, as indicating the same lesson, the subserviency of the church to the Lord. There is no definite statement for this or command, the same as there is no definite statement or command for you or I to symbolize our consecration in water baptism, the same as there is no command that we should participate at the memorial season with the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. Why do we do it? We do it because we want to fulfill or to do that which would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And here is again, Hebrews 12 and 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you realize that that privilege will be ours? If we hold fast to the promises, that as joint heirs, the promise that we've read earlier, we're going to share if we endure the shame, the wrongdoings, if we are rightly exercised by our trials and experiences, it's going to be ours. The privilege of sitting at the right hand of God. Again, in Philippians, the second chapter, reading at the 9th verse, therefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's going to be your privilege and your honor and mine too, if I'm able to faithfully endure all the trials and experiences that come my way. Again, turn with me to Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. How dead am I? When the darts of the adversary come flying at me, what do we do? At work, with our neighbors, even with our brethren. How often have we had our feathers ruffled? It's not easy. I'm not trying to have anything in mind, but to bring out that these are experiences that each one of us are enduring. Each one has to endure if we're going to reign with our Lord. Again, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the 9th and 10th verses. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the sufferings of the body of Christ once for all. In the tabernacle arrangement, it was a yearly sacrifice. But when this sin offering is completed of the gospel age, there will be no repeating. It'll be once and for all, and for all eternity. Again, let's turn back to Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And we read with the 6th verse, and Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And the 11th verse, and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for, represents himself, and make an atonement for himself, the body members, the under priesthood, and for his house, all believers of the entire household of faith, the Levites. The bullock was slain in the holy place, and only the vital, life-producing organs were placed on the brazen altar in the court. That's this out here. We read in the 13th verse, "And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is before the testimony, that he die not." Yes. As Brother Huelman pointed out, he had to take the incense. It was well beaten. There was no fits and starts in our Lord's ministry. It was constant from the day he presented himself to the Father at Jordan till when the climactic end on the cruel cross of Calvary. It was constant. Two hands full of well-beaten incense with the coals of fire hanging on one side and the blood, which when he placed the censer of coals on the golden altar and offered up the incense, it had to fill that room and permeate under into the presence of God, into the Most Holy. Yes. And then he didn't just walk in. He had to stoop down and go under the curtain, showing or representing the 3.5 days in the grave, to enter into the glorious presence of the Father. The same was done with the blood of the bullock, slain, taken in, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Into the presence of God. These are our privileges. These are promises to you and to I. There's so much more on this subject. We've barely scratched, barely got started. We pray that some of the thoughts that have been presented may stimulate you to a more zealous study of the tabernacle, to gain a greater appreciation. And as we read the tabernacle book, sometimes just reading a sentence, why? Why did you put it that way, Brother Russell? Or the paragraph. What's the point of that paragraph, Brother Russell? What's the lesson in it for me? To make my calling and election sure. We had the privilege of a short time ago, if I may take just a moment, of a party who came to the door. We presented her with a first volume. Oh, well, he's the founder of our society. I said, have you read the book? No. I say, read it. But that isn't the first book he read. Or he wrote. He wrote The Tabernacle Shadows. Well, I never heard of that. I says, read it. It outlines the way the Christian should walk to serve and to please God. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Leon. Certainly, we can see that Brother Leon was pointing out to us that if we're going to be faithful to the Lord and to hear His well done, we have to seek to do His will and not ours at all times.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for the enlightening that Thou hast given us of Thy Holy Spirit, of an understanding and appreciation of Thy plans and purposes. Dear Lord, forgive us wherein we fall short or the things we may have said amiss. Help us, dear Lord, in our daily walk to conduct ourselves wisely as sons of Thine. Be with us through the remainder portion of this convention. This we ask and thank Thee in Jesus' dear name. Amen.